Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Okay, I'm standing. How do I look? Now, this is Michael Harrison filling in for Grace today. And it is a special day indeed. This has been a fun show, and I'm enjoying being with you and Jared Diglio. Jared will be back on the air in a few minutes with some interesting information. But first, and we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas culture and entertainment later in the program with one of the greatest entertainment historians in media, a fellow by the name of Brad Shepard from Western Massachusetts, and he will be on with us in the final half hour talking about some of your favorite films, maybe some that you haven't even thought about. But right now, I am going to play for you a song that I recorded with a legendary band called Gun Hill Road, of which I have been a member for the past few years. There's four of us, Steve Goldrich, Paul Reich, Brian Coonan, and yours truly. Brian Coonan, by the way, is in the orchestra of the new hit musical, Some Like It Hot. This is a great ensemble. They had a hit back in the 70s called Back When My Hair Was Short. And I used to play them when I was a DJ in New York City in the early 70s, when their albums were very hot in that genre. And, well, to make a long story short, I'm now in the band, and I'm going to play that song for you in a moment, but I'm going to lead up to it with the 10 biggest dangers that I think we face going forward into the 21st century. We're now, you know, going into year number three of the 21st century, 2023. We've gotten 2020, 21, and 22 behind us, so it's actually, we're going into year number four. There's always that debate of when does a decade or a century start? But you get my drift. So here are the things that I feel based upon my research, my talking to people, and just my own bloviating, arrogant, know-it-all, smartest guy in the room opinion. At number 10, disease. That if there's anything we've learned in this last year, two, three, is that microbes, biology, viruses, these things are dangerous. They're as dangerous as anything out there, and anything could happen. We've got to be real careful about pandemics. Number nine, I'm working up to number one, the collapse of our economy, the destruction of the electric grid, and things just go into hell in a handbasket could happen. Number eight, crazy billionaires. You know, we talk about dictators. We talk about guys that run countries with an iron hand and take away human rights and freedoms. Crazy billionaires. They get richer and richer. And I'm no communist. I'm a capitalist. I want to be a crazy billionaire. But I realize if somebody could write a check and take over Twitter with ease, simply because they have the money, but somebody wants to go out and buy an AM radio station, they have to jump through months and months and months of government hoops and regulations. There's something wrong with how we're protecting ourselves, especially in the information era, from people that can totally control public opinion because they're rich. Not good. It's another problem. You know, special interests are dangerous, but at least you're beholden to somebody. When you're beholden to nobody, that's dangerous. Number seven, scams. Very dangerous scams. They're all over the place. Your identity, your entire livelihood, everything, wherever you turn. Number six, nature. Yeah, you know, people who think, oh, nature is lovely. Let's return to nature. Yeah, nature will kill you. Number five, speaking of something that'll kill you, nukes. Let's not ever take that lightly. And now we're getting into the big time here. Number four danger facing us as we go forward into this century. Clean water. We're running out of it. There will very likely be water wars the same way we've had oil wars. Number three on the danger chart, time. We're all running short of time. There are too many things to do, too many things in our face. We don't have time to think. We don't have time to be creative. We don't have time to just mess around. Time is becoming a rare and increasingly rare commodity. Number two, loss of privacy. I used to think that loss of the First Amendment and loss of free speech was the thing that was the most dangerous thing that could happen. Now I think loss of privacy is even more dangerous. You cannot be free if you cannot have privacy. And increasingly, we cannot have privacy. Have you noticed? And number one, the number one danger facing each and every one of us is the widespread pandemic of ignorance. Stupid people. I can't stand stupidity. Not that I'm the smartest guy in the world, but I'm just talking about people that go out of their way to live a cultural lifestyle of being dumb. Ignorance is the most dangerous thing. Idiocy threatens to undermine our democracy and our world. And now I present to you, yours truly, Michael Harrison, a song that I co-wrote with my colleagues in Gun Hill Road. It's become sort of an international YouTube hit. And I will encourage you where to see it. But right now, maybe you'd like to listen to Gun Hill Road performing Idiots.
Thinking's on a holiday for many folks every day. Words of fear and hate makes our culture second rate. Let's start out with easy stuff, then the stuff that's far more tough. Here at home and overseas, ignorance is the real disease.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
They cherry pick and reaffirm half-baked dumb ideas. Agree with almost anything that feeds their hate and fears. Always blaming others for their own damn lack of vision. They buy the crap that sold them from the merchants of division.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
A fool will always be a fool, left, right, blue, or red. It pays to have an open mind, but not an empty head. Life is full of mysteries, don't mean to sound aloof. But knuckleheads seek victory at the expense of truth.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
The truth is not a mystery, if only you know history.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Yeah. And there you have it. I hope that you enjoyed that. Hey, listen, a shameless plug here. It's free, so I'm not selling you anything, but you got to see the music video with that. So when you have a chance, go over to YouTube. Just go to actually idiotsvideo.com. Idiotsvideo.com. There are some scenes that are chilling and some scenes that are hilarious. But I'll tell you, it's from the heart, folks. Idiotsvideo.com. And there's the song Idiots. And I really do believe it. I think the most dangerous thing that a democracy, a nation such as ours, a culture such as ours, could possibly face is widespread ignorance. It doesn't matter if the elections are rigged or not. If people are stupid, they don't know what they're voting for, or they don't participate, we're in deep you-know-what. We'll talk more about that after the break. It's Michael Harrison filling in on The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid.
An American girl.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
I don't know how to come on after that. I'll tell you, that's pretty cool stuff. Michael Harrison for Grace Curley, and I'll be here till 3 o'clock. It's 2:22 on this 23rd day of December 2022. It's Christmas Eve Eve. The moon and the stars lined up perfectly for us to have two Christmas Eves and to have that extra day on the weekend. And I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. Are you listening at work? Are you out of work? Are you driving someplace? It's definitely a different kind of time. You know, most days are... I don't want to use the word humdrum. There's no such thing as that. Every moment is wild and crazy, but this is a very special moment. It's coming to the end of a year. We're coming to a time when a lot of people are going on vacations. Aren't you glad you didn't fly anywhere this week or for this weekend? Woo. Pretty rough out there. So hey, Jared Diglio, let's take a look at today's poll question, which I find fascinating.
Sure. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Our friends at Eden Pure are extending their Gen 40 heater special until Christmas, which is Sunday, so you want to get this now because it's slated to sell out, and this is while supplies last. Reduce your heating bills with the Gen 40 heater. Order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com, and you can save $50 with code GRACE50. And we're asking, are you an early Christmas shopper or last minute?
That's a great question, and I've been thinking about it the entire show. And when Jared asked the question the first hour, and I hadn't heard it yet, I asked him, is it okay that we talk about it, or is that considered rigging the poll? And Jared, you said it's okay that Grace is always asking you about the question.
Exactly, yeah. 56% of the audience, by the way, says they are early shoppers. 44% say they're last minute. So it's pretty close.
Does that surprise you?
Not really. I thought there'd be a few more last minute shoppers, but...
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're telling the truth? Do you think that they're lying?
Well, you can never tell with the polls, but I like to think our audience tells the truth on the poll.
But are they telling themselves the truth? See, this is, you know, one of the difficulty in spotting, you know, I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm teasing. But the fact of the matter is we're surrounded by lies and we're surrounded by liars. And one of the hardest things to do is to differentiate between somebody who is wrong but means well. They think they're telling the truth. They may even have lied to themselves. And, you know, we go, you know, if the weatherman says it's going to be sunny tomorrow and it isn't, and it rains, say, you lied. He didn't lie. He was just wrong. But if the weather, the meteorologist says tomorrow is going to rain and it's sunny, and then we find out that the meteorologist has owns a percentage of the umbrella factory, then it's a lie. So people that can pass polygraph tests do so because they're lying to themselves, or they actually believe their own lie. One of the hardest things to resist when you're dealing with a liar or somebody who is presenting you with an untruth. And we have to deal with this all the time. We're surrounded by scams. We're lied to in a frivolous way. We're even lied to in commercials. Certainly not the commercials on this radio show, but a lot of the national commercials for big-time items. They promise you happiness and a wild, wonderful lifestyle if you drive a certain truck, you know, that type of thing, is to determine whether the person believes it themselves. There are people that will look you in the eye and be bold-faced liars. The most skilled liars historically in our public, in our lives, are politicians. Politicians are just absolutely tremendous. There should be a liar's hall of fame as to the skills that they employ in lying, in diverting attention, in dodging a particular question. So being able to, I guess they call it a BS meter. And you know what I mean? You know, my meter went off. Oh, I knew right away that the bad dude, man, he's like telling me a lie. You could just sense it. But sometimes you can't. And then sometimes we lie to ourselves to believe the lies of people whom we've invested in so much of our ego and our hopes and our dreams and our pride that we want to believe them, even though somewhere in the back of our mind we know they're not telling the truth. And then there's the other syndrome of people that we're so used to politicians lying that we don't expect them to tell the truth. As a matter of fact, I do a lot of research on this in my job, and there are people who will support something that they know is not true, but they figure that if a candidate told the truth, that the candidate is too stupid, doesn't understand politics to be elected. I mean, how many times have you ever heard, yeah, I like what that candidate is saying, but he or she is crazy. They're crazy. And therefore can't believe them, because if they tell the truth, how smart can they be? You can't get elected if you tell the truth. And then there's the person who says, I like what he or she said, meaning they judge you not on the level of your truth, but they judge people on the quality of their lies, on how much they like the lie. And perhaps they share in the lie. It will benefit them. And they justify it to themselves. Pretty wild. We're going to be Christmassy coming up after the break with Brad Shepherd. You're going to like it. Stick around. I'm Michael Harrison, filling in for Grace Curley on The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Okay, here we are. It's the home stretch here, the Grace Curley Show. And it's a special show indeed. I hope that you're in the holiday spirit. I hope everything is good for you. I hope it's been a good year for you. And certainly I do hope the next year is even better. There's certainly a lot of improvement that can be enjoyed by all of us. But it is Christmas Eve Eve. And at this point, I am going to turn our attention to the holiday. You know, I've had enough about stupid people, disease, disasters of nature, scams, nukes, dirty water, running out of time, crazy billionaires, the collapse of our society, breakdown of the electric grid, pandemics, yuck. We're joined by a man of good cheer. His name is Brad Shepard. He's somewhat of a media legend here in New England. He's heard on Pioneer Valley Radio out in western Massachusetts, an online conglomeration of interesting podcasts and programs. And he's a guy who is famous for playing the Grinch and singing songs and being a really knowledgeable about the entire past 100-plus years of entertainment. I hear you smirking in the background. How the heck are you, my friend?
I'm fine. I'm just on the Christmas Express, chugging along to the big day. And I was just listening to your intro to this segment and kind of chuckling. You mean you don't want to talk about bombogenesis? There's a great word.
Bombogenesis. Is that what you just said?
This is a new one from our meteorologist.
Maybe. Is that the cyclone bomb?
Yeah, something like that. I've never heard the word. It's a bombastic word, isn't it?
It is, but I'll tell you something. The whole meteorological parlance, if you will, has changed over the years, and we now call things that we never called them before. I guess it's good for selling snow shovels, umbrellas, rakes. I had a tree fell down in my yard last night.
Boy.
Thank goodness it didn't fall on anything. But now you go, oh gosh, I gotta call somebody to move it. Trees are heavy. Have you ever lifted a tree? They're very heavy.
Did you say, have I ever lived in a tree?
No. I said, have you ever lifted a tree? You knew I said
lifted,
that.
I beg your pardon. No.
And here's Brad Shepard. He lives in
not,
a tree.
I've had them fall down before, and it's no fun. Because we don't deal with it regularly. You got to find the right people and bring them in, and it's a big mess.
What I can't understand is why is every single weather event, and that's a term that meteorologists like to use. Why is every single meteorological event, why is each weather event labeled the biggest and the worst of all time? How do we keep breaking records? I remember when I was a kid that we had 3 feet of snow. We would be snowed in, that there were hurricanes, that there were all kinds of terrible things happened. And subsequently, I'm experiencing things that I remember were storms in the past, and how come they're not on the list? Tell us, wise one.
Mathematics. It's the mathematics of the situation. You scare people, you get ratings, and you make money. And the weather people have found a way to do this, and everything is very, very, very dramatic. It doesn't just snow anymore. It's a paralyzing blizzard or a nor'easter, and half the time it turns out to be a nominal snowfall.
Yeah. I guess fear sells. An Arctic blast. An Arctic blast. What the hell is an Arctic blast? Now, I grew up in the Northeast. I did not grow up in New England. I grew old in New England. I grew up in New York. I don't remember ever hearing the term nor'easter. Now, you're from New York, but you spent a lot more time in New England. Is nor'easter a new term, or is that something I just never noticed until about 20 years ago?
Well, we've been in parallel with each other because I grew up in New York, too, and came to New England about maybe what, good Lord, I don't know, maybe 50 years ago. And nor'easter was something I had never heard until I came here. And I had actually, the snowfall here in New England isn't anything compared to what I coped with in western New York, in Rochester, New York. That was the worst snow I had ever experienced. Yeah. Here in New England, and certainly in western Mass, it's been very livable.
Yeah, Buffalo is certainly known for that. So let's talk a little bit about Christmas movies and things of that nature. I love the music and I love the culture of Christmas. Although I have to say, as I get older, I find myself favoring the older stuff and not the new stuff. And I don't know if that's a sign of age or the older stuff is more popular and more better, for lack of a better word, than the new stuff. What's your feeling about the generations and this subject?
I think, once again, we're in total agreement with one another. The classics, the Christmas classics, when I was growing up, it seemed there was really only a handful of them, you know? And now, they're uncountable and calculable, if you will. And that's because we have this proliferation of streaming services and TV networks and things like Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel grind out the Christmas movies and the holiday movies like it was an assembly line. You can't keep up with them. So I don't. I have a handful of favorites that I like. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to top Miracle on 34th Street. They've remade it, and the remake is okay. They have failed over and over again to remake It's a Wonderful Life. You're just not going to catch lightning in a bottle like that again. Certainly, you and I have talked in past Christmases about the joy of the 1951 British version of A Christmas Carol, and there are umpteen versions of A Christmas Carol out there. And I talk to people, and I say, well, have you seen the 1951? No, no, I like the George C. Scott one, and so on and so forth. Well, my opinion is you haven't lived until you've sat down and watched 1951 Scrooge or A Christmas Carol. It has both titles. It's about as good as anything can get. The reviewers always love to say, Michael, that it's too good a movie to watch once a year. But it's a Christmas tradition for me.
I've heard that from a number of people. I'm thinking, my mind is wandering as you're talking. I'm thinking back to, like, my childhood. And you could only hear Christmas music and see Christmas programs on television in rare places. In other words, it wasn't everywhere, as you point out, constantly.
Yeah.
And I saw this thing as a kid back in the 50s. I was a little kid, and it was the 12 Days of Christmas, and it was a Victorian production of Victorian England. It wasn't made in the Victorian times, but it was about a woman and a man, and every day he brought her a partridge and a pear tree, French hens, Lords a leaping. And at the end, I mean, it was spectacular. The house was totally overrun by cows, maids milking, and I thought it was great. And the next year I saw it again. And then I looked for it the third year, couldn't find it. And I spent the last half a century looking for it. I can't find it, or the name of it, or whatever. And I found a really bad technical version of it, you know, in terms of it was all fuzzy on YouTube, and I immediately sent it to you. Those kinds of things stay in my mind, you know, and that's why you hear certain songs. There was a television station, I think a lot of places had that, where they would show a burning Yule log and play Christmas songs.
Yes.
In case you didn't have if you lived in an apartment and you didn't have a fireplace, and that meant a lot to me as a kid.
They still do it. It's WPIX Channel 11 TV in New York, and it's
internet
now. Yeah, they still do it. And you know that the 12 Days of Christmas thing that you're talking about. Until you sent it to me, I had never seen it, and it is absolutely hilarious. But the hilarity is matched by the brilliance of the production. It's an amazing piece.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they actually have cows going up the stairs and maids are milking. And I mean, when you think about the mathematics of the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, if you try to depict it in reality, it's a major production. It's like Ben-Hur. I mean, it's like, you know, Avatar, only it wasn't done with computer-generated graphics. We're talking with Brad Shepard. He's a entertainment historian and a media figure in Western Massachusetts and a New England legend. And it's 2:44, and we got more coming with Brad. And it is Christmas Eve Eve, and I'm Michael Harrison filling in for Grace Curley.
Listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Yeah, sounds good. Grace Curley Show, final segment coming up right now. Michael Harrison has the privilege of sitting in for Grace. Hope you're enjoying the program and enjoying the holiday, and we're getting into the real heart of it, aren't we? It's Christmas Eve Eve, and it's 2:49 on a Friday. It's right near the solstice. It's getting dark. The days are short. A winter's day in a deep and dark December. We're there. And we're talking with Brad Shepherd, who is a wonderful, wonderful guest. He even plays the Grinch every year out in West Springfield at the Majestic Theater. You just did a performance, didn't you, Brad?
Yes, and that song follows me everywhere.
I have to tell you, that's one of my least favorite songs.
Oh, I think it's kind of funny, to be honest with you, but I love the vocalist who originally recorded it, a man with an unusual name, Thurl Ravenscroft, and you've heard him a million times, because he's a bass singer that they use in studios. He's recorded a ton of material for Disney World, and he has that iconic recording of "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," and for some reason, it has stuck to me like flypaper, but that's okay. Mm. People love it, and I'm happy to give them what they want.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do it well, if it can be well. I think I heard him do it on this show, on one of the commercials that ran, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch." How do you do it? Do the line.
"You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel." You know, and you build it out there, and the audience, they stand. There's no one else I would say this to but you, Michael, because you understand. They stand in their seats and they give me a standing O when I do that song each year. I'll never understand it, but they love it. So I give them what they want to hear.
My favorite Christmas songs, in terms of recordings, number two, "The Little Drummer Boy" by the Harry Simeon Chorale. I think that's a fabulous song, and it sounds like something that goes back to maybe ancient times, but it's relatively 20th century. And the one that I like more than that is the original recording by Bing Crosby of "Do You Hear What I Hear?" You know,
beautiful.
When he goes, the child, sleeping in the night. and that voice of his and the image of it. What are your favorite Christmas songs?
Well, tell me something, since you mentioned "Little Drummer Boy." Do you appreciate the Crosby-Bowie duet with the Peace on Earth?
Oh, yes, I meant to mention that.
I love that.
More so each year, because when you watch the little vignette about them on YouTube, when that was made, Bowie was a current hot artist, and Crosby plays the role of somebody that that Bowie hadn't even heard of from, you know, before his time. And now both of them are in the same category. You look back at it, and they have more in common. Bowie is an old folks artist. David Bowie, who was the epitome of the cutting edge in his time, as was Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby was a crooner.
Yeah.
Guys like Al Jolson that didn't use microphones, they used to make fun of Bing Crosby because he'd get up close to the microphone and he would use it that way. And they called that, disparagingly, crooning. And that's not real singing.
Do you know what his nickname was?
No.
The Groaner.
The Groaner.
they called him the Groaner. But Crosby never had the career ups and downs that Sinatra, perhaps one of the most brilliant male vocalists who ever lived. But Crosby never had those career ups and downs. He was a massive success right until he keeled over on the golf course when he was in 1977, which was a huge loss. But he was a wonderful, wonderful singer.
Now, currently, the major singer of all time who's still alive and is looked upon as somewhat of a god, Paul McCartney, he has a Christmas song out there, "Wonderful Christmas." I turn it off every time it comes.
Yeah.
Can't stand it. I heard it on a commercial the other day, and I rolled my eyes. I don't even know the name of that song. And I'm a big Beatles fan.
"Wonderful Christmas Time."
Where did that horrible song come from? My gosh!
It was the 70s, and it was. I remember when I was spinning it as a little 45 on the radio station I worked for. It was new back then, and simply having a wonderful Christmas time. How did you feel? How did you feel about So This Is Christmas, John Lennon with the anti-war message.
Did I just lose you? Did I blow us off the air?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. For a second, we're dealing in digital in the digital world, and we're coming toward the end of the program. And the closer you get to the end, the more chance there is that you're going to have a problem. It's sort of like
I just lost you.
We're still in the Bronx. Still in Westchester, and then. As you get closer to where you're going, the traffic gets heavier.
Yes.
So
did you hear my question or did I?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear you. You asked me what I thought about John Lennon's song, and I said I don't like it.
Well, I didn't hear your answer. That was the question, and I admire it as a Christmas song, but I've never been comfortable with it.
Yeah, no. But I always give those guys the benefit of the doubt that maybe I'm missing something. But so you would say for people listening to this who have children and they want to turn their kids on to the deeper culture, the deeper history of Christmas. What do you recommend for somebody who, say, has a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old in terms of a movie to think about playing for the kids that they probably have never seen?
Oh, you can't go wrong with Miracle on 34th Street. That's easily understood and interpreted by toddlers, and it's a magical film. It really is, with a great message about the spirit of Christmas and about the belief in Santa Claus. I would absolutely turn them on to that. The Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah, it's a good
conductor
one.
Is a big one for children.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this new one that they say is not recommendable for kids. I saw trailers for it, and you don't hear about it now. It's called A Violent Christmas or A Violent Night. It's like really...
Why do they do it?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, why do they do it? Why do you think they do it? Listen, I got to say goodbye. Hey, thank you for joining us. This was kind of fun to bounce things around. I always think of you when I think of the holiday, and I've had many conversations with you over the years, and just keep up the fabulous work you're doing. Brad Shepard, I appreciate your joining us. Happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays, Michael. Thank you.
And Jared Diglio, best wishes to you and your family. Thank you. It was a pleasure working with you. And thanks to Grace Curley. I'm Michael Harrison, filling in for Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody.